Hello, friends, and I welcome you back to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching brought to you by The Wash and Word Hand Car Washing Business, located in Churchill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. It is a hand car washing business that exists so that we can get these verse by verse Bible teachings into your ears each day on WMCH at 8:30 a.m. Monday through Friday. That's 1260 a.m. radio. You can come by The Wash and Word and tune to 107.1 FM in the parking lot and hear these messages playing on a loop. And you can go to washandword.com for all the information about this business and this ministry. That's wash, letter N, word.com. All right, getting back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching, we're going to finish up Jonah chapter 3 today. And we looked at it in a grand scope of three things of chapter 3. We read it as a whole a few messages ago. And there are three aspects to this chapter that I wanted to get through to you. And the first one is I wanted to deliver what I wanted you to know from this chapter. And there were five things that I wanted you to know from chapter 3. And the first one was that God's call, his word, and his will does not change. Only circumstances change. The second thing is that you are not responsible for what you say. And of course, we talked about not that you're not responsible for what you say, but you're not responsible for the message that God has given you to preach to the world. Thirdly, I wanted you to know that God has to do a work in you before he can do a work through you. And you've heard sermons on that before. Fourthly, that a godly government is not necessary for a godly country. And that, of course, would be a nice thing to have, but it isn't necessary because the country is the people, as Abraham Lincoln said. Also, just as the church as a whole is made up of the people. And the fifth thing that I wanted you to know was that Christianity is the only religion that offers any assurance. And we looked at the assurance that these Ninevites would have had they gone and worshiped the Lord long ago, rather than just now coming around to their repentance. So those are the five things I wanted you to know. And then now we're going to look at what I want you to feel. Based on that knowledge, based on those five things that I wanted you to know, I hope that you would be, that they would cause you to feel a certain way. So how do I want that knowledge that I've given you on chapter 3 to make you feel? Well, the first thing I'd like it to make you feel is comforted. The knowledge of those five things should make you feel comforted. It should make you feel comforted because God is a God of second chances. And as most of you know, he's a God of third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. And I mean, the number is infinity, isn't it? God is a God of second chances. He always allows for a turnaround in one's life. And most people do not turn to God because at some point in their life, they have turned from God. That is, you don't have to turn back to God unless you turn away from God. Like Jonah, he's a perfect example of someone who knew God, who followed God, who grew up an Israelite, who turned from God. And because of his turning from God, he now has to turn back to God. And that's the difference between him and the Ninevites. They were never part of God's family. They were never part of God's plan. So they simply were repenting. Whereas Jonah had to turn back. And when you leave God and you turn back, there's other feelings involved other than just repentance. There's guilt that you have to struggle with. There's a feeling that you don't deserve God's favor because after all, you knew God and you felt his blessings. You felt the joy of the Lord, yet you still turned from him. And then in your time of despair, you turn back to him only to find him waiting there with open arms. And so you deal with the guilt. You feel with the fact that he's forgiven you again. And so you have this undeserved feeling of favor that he has showered you with. You feel unworthy of the love and the forgiveness and the blessings and the glory that God continues to bestow upon you. And, you know, you have to struggle with this. It'd be so much better to just remain in God than it would to flee from him and then have to go back because there's so many other feelings. But that is what I want you to feel in this, and that is comforting, comforted, comfort that God is comfort. And so be comforted. You know, the word grace has been broken down into the acronym God's riches at Christ's expense. And God is a God of restoration, isn't he? I mean, look, he restored Jonah here. We know he restored Peter after denying Jesus three times. He restored Paul after being a hater and enemy of the Christian faith. And he restored Joseph, and he definitely restored David. And if all of them were good enough for God's grace and forgiveness, well, surely you are as well. And the second thing I want you to feel is not only comforted, but based on the knowledge of the five things that we looked at in chapter 3, I want you to also feel convinced. Convinced of God's love for you. Convinced of his willingness that he can still use you. Convinced that he is for you and not against you, no matter what you have done between the time you walked away from him and the time you have returned. And I want you to be convinced that apart from him, you can do nothing. And if you've turned away from God at any point in your life, I don't need to convince you that apart from him, you can do nothing. Because if you turned away from God at some point, you are apart from him by your choice. And friends, how did that work out? How good and blessed and fruitful was that life? So you don't need to be convinced that apart from him, you can do nothing. Because if you have parted from him, you've seen the nothing that life is without Jesus, without God on your side. And I want you to be convinced that when you return, his forgiveness is full and it is complete. I have found that the problem with Christians is that they are not fully convinced of their position in Christ. Even whether it's your initial salvation experience or it's your return from straying, there are a lot of you out there who are not fully convinced of your position in Christ before God. That there is complete forgiveness in you now. That you have a complete inheritance of the kingdom of heaven, that there is complete justification, that you have been completely delivered, and that you are completely one with God because of Jesus Christ. And you hear these words and you think these are just words, but you have to own them as truths. And again, you may hop out there and say, well, that just sounds great, handsome radio preacher, but I wish I could feel it. I wish I could believe it. You don't know what I've done. Listen, don't worry, because someday I will, and so will everyone else, because all of our works will be open for all to see, and then we'll be standing there naked and bare before the Lord with all of our shame. And you know what's going to happen? Jesus is going to come out, and he's going to say, grace be unto you, and there will be nothing of shame left. But take that position now. Be comforted. Be convinced of where you're at. And not only that, the third thing I want you to feel is to feel conviction. Feel conviction based on the things that we talked about that I wanted you to know. Because if Jonah could summon enough courage and humility to preach to his enemies, what excuse do we have to put before Jesus if we were to ask why we were not witnessing to our enemies, let alone to our friends and our family and our coworkers? So I know you out there because you're me, and we should feel a little convicted at how weak our evangelism is. Sociology professor Anthony Campolo recalls a deeply moving incident that happened in a Christian junior high camp where he served. One of the campers, a boy with spastic paralysis, was the object of heartless ridicule. And when he would ask a question, the boys would deliberately answer in a halting, mimicking way. One night, his cabin group chose him to lead the devotions before the entire camp. It was one more effort to have some fun at his expense. Unashamedly, the spastic boy stood up, and in his strained, slurred manner, each word coming with enormous effort, he said simply, "Jesus loves me, and I love Jesus." That was all. And conviction fell upon those junior high schoolers. Many began to cry, and revival gripped that camp. Friends, all it takes is a little bit of effort and a little bit of time and a little bit of reflection to just thinking about how much Jesus really loves you. And conviction does not have to be a lifetime decision. It doesn't have to come at the heels of a major upheaval in your beliefs or your priority. Just a simple sentence like Jesus loves me, or like Jonah going there and saying 40 days and 40 nights, you will be overturned. That's all Jonah said. It was a sentence, and it changed the entire nation. But listen, convictions alone does not produce a godly action. I mean, Nero and Caligula, Attila the Hun and Hitler, they all had convictions, but only godly convictions produce godly outcomes. The subject of conviction, not condemnation, forces me to be a little more forward with you in my teachings, because I want you to feel a little bit uncomfortable, maybe even a little ashamed. And I never apologize if I make you feel ashamed or uncomfortable with the Word of God. Because friends, you were never meant to be comfortable sitting at the heels of the Word of God being preached. You are meant, it was always designed to stir you and to make you feel a little ashamed and a little convicted. But it's also there to steer you toward the one place where all of those horrible emotions and feelings that the Word can bring sometimes, they're to steer you to the place where you can find 100% comfort and conviction, and that you can find being completely convinced that they are gone at the feet of Jesus. And that is what I want you to feel because of what you know from chapter 3. I want you to feel comforted, convinced, and convicted. And that leads me to the final thing that I want you to take out of chapter 3. So not only do I want you to know that God's call, His word, and His will does not change, only your circumstances change. Not only do I want you to know that you are not responsible for what you say, the message is one that God's given you already. Thirdly, not only do I want you to know that God has to do a work in you before He can do a work through you. Fourthly, I want you to know that a godly government is not necessary for a godly country. And fifthly, I want you to know that Christianity is the only religion that offers assurance. And because of that knowledge, I want you to feel comforted. I want you to feel convinced. And I want you to feel convicted. And if you do all of those things, this is what I want you to do. You ready? Nothing. You say, did I hear you correctly? You did. You don't have to do anything. That is the beauty of Christ. Just believe. I want you to believe that God is faithful to you. I want you to believe that God can use you, yes, even you. I want you to believe that His word can change lives, yours and others. I want you to believe that nations can repent. I want you to believe that God exceeds your wildest expectations. I want you to believe like that produces the necessary results of action. You understand? If you can believe all of the things that we just discussed, you will act accordingly to God's word. And I know it's hard to believe that an entire nation can just turn around like that. And it's true, because it's been done before. And it was said that there were two plagues that happened just before Jonah showed up to Nineveh. And there was also a solar eclipse in the same year. And that may have prepared the people of Nineveh for Jonah's message of judgment. The point is, the ground must always be tilled for it to produce fruit. And you never know what has been taking place in the lives of others before God put you there. As Paul puts it, one man plants, one man waters, and another reaps. Friends, go. go and be one or the other, and go in the love of God. Well, that's it for today. Remember, go to washingword.com for more info. Have a blessed day.